This is our cry tonight. We want our lives to bring you joy. We want you to always look down upon us and rejoice in heaven. Our very heart desire is that when our name is mentioned on high, just like you did for Daniel, our name will carry so much weight that heaven will rejoice at us. Oh, we ask, oh God, that in this season we'll bring you joy. We ask that we'll bring you joy, oh God. Help us to bring you joy, my Father. Help our hearts to bring you joy. Thank you, Father. Do what only you can do tonight. Open our eyes, oh God, and give us that mind, oh God, that mind of a great harvester. Thank you, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask that your word come today. Let it come with power. Let it come with fire. Let great things happen today. Let our hearts be transformed and let's become more like you. Thank you, Father. Breathe afresh upon us. We vow to return all the glory to you. For in Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Glory be to the name of the Lord. There is a reason why God keeps us alive. Every time he comes checking and you are bearing fruits, he prunes you so that you bear much fruits. I need to remind you, there was a tree, a fig tree planted in a garden, and the vine dresser came to check on this tree. Because there was no fruits, that tree was supposed to be cut down. Incidentally, the farmer began to beg, say, allow me dig around this tree for at least 3 years or so. And that time was given. It means that every time in our lives, God evaluates us. He evaluates us. It gives us so much time, latitude, to make the required changes. Unfortunately, for many Christians, they will live their lives not knowing why they are here. And so one of those days, the Lord of this harvest will come to pluck that lamp out of his stand. And when he does, people will say, oh, what a life he lived. I want you to always ask yourself, if Jesus looks down from heaven, will he smile at my life? Because when you think that way, it will give you perspective for everything we do in this world. So that when you are busy hustling and bustling, you will know why you are doing what you do. Because a purpose is not defined, abuse is inevitable. I'm trusting God that our lives will not fail God in the name of Jesus. Today, I want to quickly take us into a topic we've titled, The Mindset of a Greater Harvester. The Mindset of a Greater Harvester. I need to start by telling you that scripture says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So no one accidentally becomes a greater harvester. Usually it starts from the mind. And so when that mind is structured in a particular way, there is a cap on what that man can do. And I think that is why it's important to discuss this matter. To be able to do a work in our mind, we are trusting God to do something in our hearts and in our mind, so that we'll carry the right mindset for this harvest. A wise man said, if you think you can succeed, he says you are right. He also said, if you think you cannot, you are also right. For we can do nothing about anyone except his mind is changed. So we must trust that one's mind. If he tells you I'm small, don't argue with him, because that is his mind. Listen, a lizard does not leave Nigeria and gets to the United States and suddenly changes. No. If you are a lizard in Nigeria, if you get to any country, you will still be a lizard. Why? Because your mind is such. So as we look into the scriptures, I'm trusting the Lord to do a work in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Philippians chapter 3 from verse 12 to 14. Philippians chapter 3 from verse 12 to 14. Paul was writing here and he said something very profound. He says, not as though I had already attained, either we are already perfect. If you have an idea of who Paul is, this statement will begin to humble you. How can a man of Paul's stature still say that not as though I had already attained, either we are already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Verse 13. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. Somebody say, forgetting what is behind. Preach to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, forget the past. Say, neighbor, forget the past. Okay, say, neighbor, forget the past achievements. Say, forget the past failures. Because the best of God is in the future. Glory be to God. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Underline the word straining. Some versions say striving, stretching toward what is ahead. Verse 14. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I press on. The word press there simply suggests that there is pressure involved. It suggests that the Christianity that many of us practice of convenience will not fly this time. Press here simply explains to us that there is pressure involved. When he called us, he didn't promise us a smooth ride. When he called us, he didn't promise us that everything will be perfect. Many Christians like to expect that everything will be perfect. In fact, many people gave their lives to Christ because they told them, once you give your life to Christ, all your what? Problem will be what? Solved. I have told us before, I apologize on behalf of the one who lied to you. Nothing in life comes easy. I was listening to Apostle Aaron one certain time, and he said, if you are a pastor who is able to gather a congregation and keep them for 10 years, even if you are using gimmicks, or you are swindling them, but you are able to keep them together for 10 years, I hail you, it's not easy. Listen, it will never be easy. That's what I'm saying. The gospel came by sacrifices. It will never be easy. So the first mindset you must have is that it will never be easy. So just in case you came into Christianity hoping that the things will be easy, sorry, it won't be easy. We are not hoping to raise Christians who are bread and butter. In fact, when I read Paul, currently I'm studying the Pauline epistles, currently the epistles of Paul.
And I'm looking at a man. In fact, I'm sure we may get there. Acts 20. I saw a man who was telling them that this may be the last time. No, he said, this will be the last time you will see me. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is someone who knew that this will be the last time, so most likely I'm dying. And he was comforting them, says, I've been asking the Lord to help our hearts this season as Christians, because we really, really need to redefine what we do again. Because if this was the same Christianity that Paul practiced, I doubt a lot of things. God will help us in the name of Jesus. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 18. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 18. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. What does he mean? No matter what you have experienced in your life, including my life, no matter what we have experienced as a church, no matter the level God has brought us to, we must know that there is more. Because if you are the righteous, then your path must experience steady growth. So if we won 100 souls last year, we must aim to win 200 this year. If we win 200 this year, we must aim for 300 next year. As I teach these things, I'm asking myself, how many souls have I won this year? Because you can be so busy with a lot of activities, yet no productivity. In the course of this study, I've had to study some hymns. One particular hymn of concern was where the hymn writer says, must I go an empty-handed? Must I see my Savior's soul? If you are a Christian and you are not bearing fruits, we saw from last week Wednesday, that even if you are maintaining what you have, it's a problem. In fact, that is the one that gives me so much concern. We are not called to maintain. We are called to do what? To grow. The Lord help us in the name of Jesus. Harvest in the kingdom is not accidental. It begins in the mind before it appears in the field, like I said before. It begins in the mind before it appears in the field. And that is how life itself operates. Long before souls are won, churches planted, or territories transformed, there is a renewal of thinking and alignment with divine purpose. I was talking to the brothers during our vigil. We discussed the dignified man, and I told them one of the major characteristics of the dignified man is that he takes responsibility for his territory. So if I find myself living anywhere, I am watchful about what happens there, because what happens there begins to concern me. If I walk anywhere, what happens in my office begins to concern me, whether it affects me directly or not. That is how pilgrims think. So when you get back home, like I keep emphasizing, and your brother, your sister doesn't know Jesus, it should bother you. Let me move. In Philippians 3, like we read, the Apostle Paul reveals this inner engine. Though greatly used by God, he refused complacency. His mindset was shaped not by past achievements, but by what still remained in God's agenda. Are you seeing it? Do you realize that Joshua finished everything he did and God told him, you are old and well stricken in age, and yet there remained so much land unconquered? How did this man do all kinds of exploits and God still told him, Joshua, you are old now and well stricken in age, and yet there is still so much lands to conquer? One of the greatest enemy of future accomplishments in the kingdom is the past victories. We must be watchful. If Paul could have this mindset, we must have it too. His mindset was shaped not by past achievements, but by what still remained in God's agenda. This reveals a critical truth. Harvest limitation is first a mindset problem before it becomes a field problem. So we want to quickly go into the inner framework of a greater harvester. We are not talking about a great harvester. We are talking about a greater harvester. What is the inner framework? That means what kind of mindset will that person carry? Number one, a never arrived mentality. A never arrived mentality. Please, while we study this and we look at Paul, at times I feel that Paul is far because we didn't see Paul. But in our generation, we are blessed to have people like Pastor E. Adeboye live with us. You need to, as I'm talking, think about that man, because it will keep you on your toes. A never arrived mentality. Please, at 84, why should a man tell us to fast for 100 days? And why we are still thinking about it? He told us, I don't think, after saying, if you know you are 70 and above, remember? He says, don't worry. Abi says 6 to 12 or something. Or say, don't worry. But he now says, some of you think because I said it, that means I will not fast. He says, I will be in front leading. I was in camp when I heard that. At 84, many of us in our 30s and 20s cannot fast 6 to 6. That's a problem. Many of the Gen Z's we have will tell you, on fasting, my mental health is affected. And we want to take territories. You must be joking. Listen. If this is a Mercedes-Benz, guys, look up. If this is a Mercedes-Benz and the cost of this car is 80 million naira, if you are 84 and you have 80 million, are we going to give it to you? Talk to me. No, I said, remember, look carefully. If this is a Mercedes-Benz and the cost of the car is 80 million, remember, and you are 84 and you show up and say, I want to buy it, and we tell you the cost is 80 million, and you give us 80 million, will you collect the car? If you are 24 and a Gen Z, and you come, and we tell you the cost is 80 million, and you bring 55 million and say, you know, I'm Gen Z, are we going to give you the car? I want you to think very deeply about what we're asking for. The cost of following Jesus has never reduced, and we never reduce for any generation. Our fathers paid the price to obtain the prize. We must, in our day, pay the full price to obtain it. There will never be a time they will say, because you are Gen Z, you know, you are a wonderful generation, take the car, because you are, since you are Gen Z, you know, you are the one reading, take it at 20 million when it's 80 million. Will it ever happen? Never arrive mentality. Paul boldly declared, now, not as though I had already obtained or attained. This was a shocking confession from a man of extraordinary spiritual exploits. Oh, Paul was a man of exploits.
This reveals the foundational DNA of every true harvester. One, they are not intoxicated by past successes. It doesn't move them. Two, they are not distracted by present applause. Ah, Daddy Gio, you're already in 191 countries. What else are you looking for? Relax. 191 is success already, sir. You are doing well. He says no. The mere fact that we are instructed to even teach this tells you the mindset of this man. At 84, come on, at 84, people have retired. Talk to me. People have retired and they're now relaxing and eating the fruit of their what? So if at 84, a man is still pushing, we don't have excuse, George. They are driven by future assignments. Jesus modeled these same mindsets. In John 5 verse 17, he says, my Father walketh hitherto and I walk. In John chapter 9 verse 4, he says, I must walk the works of him that what sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can walk. Ladies and gentlemen, it means we don't have all the time. For me, I know what it means to come into a night season. So I know why, as in what motivates me. Because I knew just few years ago here, I was a student. You know, coming to this environment reminds me of a lot of things. Just few years down the line, I was a student in a university. No matter how wonderful I am, no matter how powerful I am, I can never be a student again. I can't go back to that age. My ninth season has come. So if, for instance, you are in school here, you should know you don't have all the time. A harvester who thinks he has arrived has already begun to decline. Note it. When you think you've arrived, you have declined. You're already declining. Any day you think I have arrived, that's the day you start declining. We must be careful that we don't have that mindset, I've arrived. No. We must always say we have not arrived and have that as our mentality. Number two, an ever progressing mindset. According to Philippians 3 verse 13, it says, reckoning or reaching forth unto those things which are before. That means I keep looking at the next thing. Ever progressing mindsets. Ever progressing. The next thing, what is the next thing God is doing? We don't camp around the ashes. We make progress. I have talked to a lot of people who say, in those days when we used to, I've told us here before, if that is your story, at this age, you're already talking about when we used to. I pity you. It's too early to say when we used to, when we have in front of us an 84-year-old man. It's too early to say when we used to. Those days, what is happening now? An ever progressing mindset. That means we must always ask ourselves, what's the next thing God wants to do? In Noah's Ark, what's the next thing? How can we capture this environment for Jesus? Who are my friends who don't know Jesus around me? How can I capture them for Christ? Those are the things that should be bothering us. May God give us a burden in the name of Jesus. I said, may God give us a burden in the name of Jesus. Number three, mindset. A vision accomplishing mindset. Philippians 3 verse 14. A vision accomplishing mindset. I press toward the mark. I apply pressure towards the mark. Everyone is fasting. for 30 days.
I'll be seeing young people who attend Redeem pretend as if they don't attend Redeem anymore. I know them used to attend Redeem suddenly because they declared fast. They will start pretending they don't attend Redeem.
So what that tells me is that apart from the fast that is even declared by our Father and the Lord, it means in your personal life there is no fire. There is no fire. Because if you must accomplish this vision, we must do it in the place of prayer and fasting. If you are in Noah's Ark and in a whole week, you can't pick out a day that you fast. Do you know what you are? You are a cartoon. You know Teletubby? Is it Teletubby? Batman, I'm telling you. Because if at this level we can't fast one day in a week without the church telling you to, honestly, you are not yet ready for real life. To be honest. And part of my job is to tell you the truth so that you get angry on time. Listen, if you don't get angry on time, you will stay in bondage for long. Don't use your life for experiments. Greater harvesters are men who are vision accomplishing. And how best can you see a vision if not in the place of prayer? At 84, our Father in the Lord has a thriving, fiery prayer life. Sir, I don't have an excuse. I've told us here many times, for several years, I was lying to myself. Told myself, you know, I'm very busy. I do a very tough job. You don't want to know how tough it is. Very tough. No time. I was explaining and I was quieting my conscience. Relax. You know, you are so busy. You are in the corporate world. These things are not easy. As if because you are so busy, when they tell you these things, 80 million, they say, because you are busy, bring 70 million. It's a lie. It won't happen. Sir, if the cost is 80 million, you must fulfill that 80 million or else you won't carry it. I'm using this to explain how spiritual things work. If our Father-in-law at 84 still pays the price, you must pay the price. It will never be reduced for anybody. That's what I'm saying. See, it was the realization of what I'm telling you that made me ask myself. If Daniel, who was in the palace, can cope, I can cope. Many of you think you are busy. You know, those days as students, we used to say, this school was so stressful, we don't have time. How many of who are the students here? Raise your hands. If you're a student here, raise your hands. If you're a student, raise your hand. Where now? With confidence. Is it very stressful being a student in last? Is it very stressful? Tell me how stressful. Is it very, 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 very stressful? Talk to me now. Is it very stressful? I wish I can call my wife to explain to you what stressful looks like. Let me tell you, if you cannot build a structured prayer life now, you don't have a husband disturbing you, you don't have a wife, you don't have children that want to suck, you don't have a ministry where they're telling you you must do remittance every month, you don't have a, what's it called? What, pressing your neck? Nobody's calling you and say, Emma, right? How many people do you send money? Do you send money last month? How many people do you send money to? You know, it's normal. We used to think, oh, this school is so stressful. Now, when I graduate, how many of us think about those things? When I graduate, I will not have time to now relax. Is it not? You'll be shocked. That's your mommy and daddy that used to send you money every month. They will send you 15K. Or you call them. Even after 15K, say, mommy and dad, I need this. They will still give you. You will be shocked. You know, just a few years ago, some of us used to say, I came from a poor background. Are you aware that in the next few days, you will become the new background? So
saw those stuff in, I gave me a poor background. Oh God, you are now somebody else's background. Are you aware that my children will not say I gave me a poor background anymore? Are you getting what I'm saying? When you have this in mind, there is a way you will run. There is no time. You will run with the consciousness that I don't have all the time to be young. I don't know where I was sitting on Sunday evening, and I was watching Barcelona Real Madrid. I just watched just a little. I don't know anybody on that pitch anymore. You know, when I used to have time to watch football, do you know the people I watch those days? Lampard, Arteta, Ronaldinho. You know, these things will make you know that you are getting old. Because at times you will still feel like, no be me, so we need to have those things. The guys that I watched growing up are now coaches. When you think about these things, it will give you the sense of urgency required in life. You will realize that if you cannot fast and pray now as a student, the moment you graduate from school, you will be lost. I'm not joking. That is why when I teach from here, I told my wife when we came here, I said, wow, this is a student environment. I will preach with all my heart. I will tell them the whole truth, because someone has to tell you that it's not easy out there. It's hard. Life is hard. If we keep betting, you will think this is life until you live here. You will suddenly be shocked. If you cannot manage student life and still have a prayer life, you will never have one. If you are single and you are complaining, all this stress, the way it's stressing me, and you are still single, and you are any one of our sisters, it will shock you. You will soon discover that you need to create time for your wife, create time for God, or create time for your husband. When you go home now, you just relax. If you like anything you like, once you say, I want to hang out with the girls, or I want to hang out with the boys, you just go and hang out. Very soon, you will know that you need to take permission to hang out anything. May God help us in the name of Jesus. Number three, a vision accomplishing mindset. Number four, a mindset that rejects comfort-centered living. Yes. Open the Bibles to Acts 20, verse 24. I want to show you something there. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. A mindset that rejects comfort-centered living. Please note these things. You will need it in life. Acts 20, 24. Please, can you help me? Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Anyone that is here, please read for me. If you can, please. Acts 20, 24. Can we look at the board? Want to go. However, I consider my life what? Read out now. Read out. Want to go. However, I consider my life what? Nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. What a man. Jesus, I consider my life worth nothing to me. Jesus, look at the mindset of a man. How does a man live life up to this point where he considered his life nothing anymore? That means my life is useless apart from finishing the race that Jesus has set before me. A mindset that rejects comfort. If we can read down to 25, you will see some things. Can we go down? 25, go down to 25, please. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will what? Talk to me now, will what? Does it make sense what you are reading?
This is someone's letter to some people. Someone was talking to some people here. Now I know. That means I am in the know. It's not a secret. That none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. That means there is a way he preached to them. If I knew that this was my last message in church, how do you think I would preach? If you knew you had 7 more days to live on earth, think about it. How will you live your life? If you knew you had 7 more days. God will help us in the name of Jesus. Paul declared, none of these things move me. Comfort is the silent killer of evangelistic fire. Many believers today subconsciously prioritize personal peace over kingdom expansion. Commitment. Okay, convenience over commitment. Stability over sacrifice. Go and read about the missionaries that came to Africa to bring the gospel. Many of them left comfort of the United States, Scotland, Britain, and they came to Nigeria under the mosquitoes and under the intense weather. Why? Because they had to preach the gospel. Your own sacrifice is to come to church on Sunday by 6:45. And yet it's a big deal. You know why? Because pastor, that's when they sleep, they sweat that time, that breeze, they get as it go blow. God will help us in the name of Jesus. Finally, a mindset, number 5, a mindset of responsibility over excuses. Proverbs 22 verse 13. Proverbs 22 verse 13. A mindset of responsibility over excuses. Honestly, when I watch the way some of us do church, it just tells me that you are not really responsible. You feel it's not my business. It's the HOD's business. It's not me, sir. It's not me. It's my neighbor. It's not me. It's the pastor. It's not me. It's the other pastor. Because if we have the sense of responsibility, look at what it says. The sluggard says, there is a lion outside. I'll be killed in the public square. Go out. No, sir. If we go out, they will destroy me. If we go out, you always have excuses to give. You always have excuses. But someone who will be a greater harvester must have a mindset of responsibility over excuses. I've told us here before, excuses at best are still excuses. Everyone who walks around me, you will know one thing, you will learn one thing. Don't trade excuses. That is the surest way never to get anything done in life. I can give you 1,001 excuses why I cannot make it to church today. I can tell you. I have 1,001 reasons why I couldn't make it to church today. Nothing worthwhile can be built by excuses. We cannot expand Noah's ark by excuses. It's not possible. We can't. God's kingdom cannot expand by excuses. Not possible. Because at best, it becomes excuses. Everyone has the reasons why they will not do what they need to do. Excuses are the language of unproductive harvesters. Look at the excuses. The economy is hard. People are not responding. The environment is unsafe. Why these challenges are real? They must not become limitations. A true harvester, however, sees obstacles as opportunities. One, adapt strategies without abandoning the mission.
and moves despite discomforts. I remember the days I had to learn how to pray in the night. Why? I used to be one of those guys who like to do morning devotions. Wake up in the morning and pray all those prayers we pray. While you are praying, your mind is telling you that you need to, you're already late for work. Father, in Jesus' name, plus Jesus, minus Satan, thank you, Father. I know you love me. I know you. I know you love me. I know I love you. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. That's what many of us do. I used to be like that too. Say, I will pray. I will pray. 5 o'clock. I will pray. I will pray. 6. Suddenly, just like 6:30. Ah! Just gonna need them. Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Blood of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bam. I had to ask myself, where will this take you to? How far do you plan to go with this? You know, the best advice you can give to yourself is the one you give to yourself. Not the one people are pastor is shouting. No, you must ask yourself, the way I'm doing, am I not deceiving myself? In times of economic hardship, as seen in our nation today, hearts are actually more open to the gospel. A crisis often creates spiritual hunger. That's what many of us don't know. This is not a time to retreat. It is a time to advance strategically. Now listen to this, everyone, please. In conclusion, the difference between a struggling church and a multiplying church is not merely resources, location, or even opportunity. It is mindset. Paul's life stands as an eternal witness that those who refuse to settle for yesterday's results will step into tomorrow's abundance. The call of God in this season is not for spectators, but for laborers who are mentally, spiritually, and practically aligned with divine harvest priorities. Noah's Ark, we must get our priorities right. It is not true that money will always limit us. There are things you can do without money. Question: how many people have you ever invited to church since the beginning of this year? How many people have you talked about Jesus since the beginning of this year? You are comfortable. I asked someone, I said, you are comfortable coming to church. Once they share the grace, boom, you escape. I just like, sir, I don't like trouble. I like to be on my own. I'm an introvert. I don't like trouble, sir. I like to just be on my own. I don't like trouble. Someone says, my life, I consider it nothing. They've not asked you to bring your blood. They only said, invite someone to church. Tell someone that Jesus loves them. No, how can I say it, sir? They will look at me as, I'm looking weird. Won't it be looking weird? Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me before your friends, I will be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. Can we close our eyes and ask the Lord to help us? This season has given me a time or an opportunity to reflect and ask myself, am I really fruitful in this kingdom? There are many pastors who are not fruitful. So don't be deceived. Am I really fruitful in this kingdom? The things I do, what motivates me? I've asked myself and my wife several times, what if we are not pastors in this church? How? What kind of man or man will I be if I wasn't a pastor here? What if I have to just come to church as a normal member? What kind of a man will I be? Can you ask Jesus, say, Jesus, help us. We must not disappoint you. We must not disappoint you. Help us. We must not disappoint you, O God.